All right, allergic rhinitis. Allergic rhinitis is inflammation of the nose caused by allergies. It can manifest in two ways. What are those two ways? Runny nose and stuffy nose. Runny nose is called rhinorrhea. Stuffy nose is called congestion. Congestion is caused by edema of the nasal passages. So some drugs that we can use to treat that. Antihistamines. Antihistamines work by blocking histamine receptors, which in turn should block what symptoms? By blocking histamine, what symptoms should we block? Say again? Okay, edema, so less swelling. What else? Say again? Say again? Okay, we'll have less mucus secretion. Why, though? Now, remember way, way back when we talked about inflammation. What was the first thing we said histamine does? We said it's a vasoactive amine, and that means that it causes vasodilation. So if we reduce vasodilation, we'll reduce the amount of edema by the capillary membrane permeability, but we'll also reduce the amount of mucus production, because mucus production is dependent on blood flow. Less mucus. When you get histamine causes mucus, antihistamine blocks the mucus production. We'll also get less itching. Histamine is highly associated with itching. Itching. Did I say hitching? Itching. I became a cockney for a moment there, I guess. Then we have intranasal glucocorticoids. All the things we said that they did for the lung, they also do for the nose. The thing about intranasal steroids is that they take a while to work. You have to take them for about 2 weeks before you start noticing a difference. We Americans are very impatient, and we stopped taking them after the first week because that didn't help me. Well, of course not, you stupid patient. It's not supposed to help you in the first week. It takes at least 2 weeks to begin working. And you can use intranasal cromolyn. I think you can get this over the counter. Montelukast, you can use Singulair, help some patients, not others. And then sympathomimetics, this is your Sudafed and phenylephrine. All right, so decongestants. We're going to talk about the sympathomimetics first. Sudafedrin and phenylephrine are both available over the counter. There's also a localized one, oxymetazoline, that you know better as Afrin. It's a nasal spray. You can also get phenylephrine as a nasal spray called neosinephrine. There used to be a wonderful drug called phenylpropanolamine that they took off the market because they said it killed someone, but it didn't really. We'll talk about that when we get to research class. It was also marketed as a weight loss drug called Dexatrim. So, anyway, we'll talk more about that. No longer on the market. You can still get this for dogs, though, so if you don't mind taking your dog pills, you could still get it. All right, effects. Vasoconstriction of the nasal arteries, which causes shrinkage of swollen passages, which reduces the amount of mucus and reduces congestion. Adverse effects, high heart rate, high blood pressure, irritability, insomnia, and rebound congestion. That's mostly for Afrin and neosinephrine in the nasal form. So the rule of thumb is don't use Afrin for more than 3 days in a row, or you'll get rebound congestion. Okay. My antihistamine slide is missing. All right, antihistamines. There are two classes of antihistamines. We call first generation and second generation. First generation have more side effects. And what are those side effects going to be? Think Benadryl for a moment. Drowsiness is one. What else? What else might we have? Now, what are those side effects called? Say again? Dry mouth, dry eyes, confusion. Dry as a bone, mad as a hatter. Anticholinergic side effects. So, first generation have more anticholinergic side effects, with drowsiness probably being the most troublesome one. So the first generation ones that you should know, diphenhydramine, what's that more commonly known as? Benadryl. You need to know chlorpheniramine, better known as chlortrimeton. It's available over the counter in a lot of different preparations, including Actifed and generic Actifeds. And then you need to know hydroxyzine. This one is fairly common in the hospital setting, and it's used to put people to sleep as well as to prevent histamine reactions. Now, one of the reasons that we might use, here, let me make that bigger for you while I talk a little. One of the reasons we would use a first generation antihistamine, particularly Benadryl or hydroxyzine, is if a patient needs a procedure where they have to have radiopaque dye and they're allergic to that dye, what we'll do is we'll dose them with Benadryl or hydroxyzine and then give them the procedure. And what we're trying to do is prevent their allergic reaction. Now, second generation have fewer side effects. And these are drugs that you're probably more familiar with, Allegra, Claritin, and Clarinex and Zyrtec. Now, Zyrtec is cetirizine, and it comes from the breakdown product of hydroxyzine. And Claritin is loratadine. This one, Claritin and Zyrtec are now both over the counter, and Allegra still is not over the counter yet. But for years, you had a drug like Claritin and Allegra, which have very few side effects. They were not over the counter, but you had a drug like Benadryl, which was over the counter. Now, does that sound like the FDA has our best interest at heart? Again, no, it doesn't. And that has nothing to do with whether you're Republican or Democrat. What it has to do with is the FDA is terrible. No, they're not. They're fast in some things. The problem is they let the drug company drive the process. If the drug company doesn't want to put their drug over the counter, it doesn't go over the counter. So why is Claritin now over the counter? Because their patent expired, so other companies could now start producing generic versions. So what they did is they put it over the counter, hoping that people would remember the brand name Claritin and buy the brand name Claritin instead of a generic alternative. So there's another drug called desloratadine, which is a breakdown product of Claritin, and that you know as Clarinex. The other thing they wanted to make sure was that because Claritin would be seen as over-the-counter, people would think it would be weaker than the new prescription, Clarinex, which was still under patent. So again, we shouldn't let the drug companies drive the process in this case. The FDA should do its own homework and put the safest drugs over the counter and take off, or, you know, get rid of the most dangerous ones, at least make them prescription only. All right. Cough suppressants. I think this is the last thing we're going to do, and then we'll be done. The best cough suppressants are opioid drugs, and the two opioids that are commonly used for it are codeine and hydrocodone. Codeine, the brand name would be Robitussin AC, and hydrocodone, the brand name would be Tussinex. Now, the one thing that you need to know about them is that the doses are not the same. The dose for Robitussin is typically you're going to take 1 to 2 teaspoons every 4 to 6 hours. If you give that to a patient with Tussinex, you're going to probably kill them from hypoventilation. So for Tussinex, it's 1 teaspoon every 12 hours. That's the most important thing to remember between those two drugs. Well, you need to know that Tussinex is less. Now, in the hospital, that shouldn't be so much of a problem because you're going to be giving what the doctor orders, and the doctor should know what to order. But if you've got a patient who you're taking care of, like home health care, or if you've got a friend who's they've been taking one for a while and the doctor switches them to the other, they can't keep taking it the same way, or they shouldn't anyway. Then we have some non-opioid drugs. The very first one is dextromethorphan. It is abbreviated DM, and this is very common over the counter. Anytime you see a drug that says blah, 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 DM, that DM stands for dextromethorphan. It's a codeine derivative, but does not cause all the side effects of codeine. It can, in large doses, cause drowsiness and a little bit of euphoria. So every now and then, you'll run across kids who will like chug bottles of the stuff trying to get high. But it doesn't really work that well.
What is Delsim made out of?
Delsim, I think it has dextromethorphan in it.
No.
No? Let's look it up. Oh, okay. Yeah, we'll talk about guaifenesin in a second. So it's a codeine derivative. It reduces the cough reflex. It can cause euphoria in very large doses, but not very much. Now, it inhibits the cytochrome P450 enzyme system, which means that it interacts with a lot of other drugs. Then we have something called benzonatate or Tessalon pearls. They're little yellow round capsules. They look like little yellow pearls. That's why they're called pearls. It's a local anesthetic, and it decreases the sensitivity of cough receptors in the stomach. Remember we said that cough can be originated in the stomach? It's kind of weird. That's how they work. The important thing about these is do not chew them. Do not crush them. They're supposed to be swallowed whole. All right, expectorants. Expectorants, there's only one effective expectorant, and that's guaifenesin. However, the common over-the-counter dose, which is 100 to 200 milligrams, is not effective. You need higher doses, 600 to 1200 milligrams every 12 hours. Some of the newer ones, some of the newer brand names that are now available over-the-counter that used to be brand name only do have those higher doses. What's the one brand name? Yeah, Mucinex. That now you can get 600 milligrams in one tablet over the counter. But formerly it was 1 to 200 milligrams and didn't work very well. The thing about guaifenesin is in order for it to be effective, the patient has to be very well hydrated. So we have to have the patient increase the amount of water they drink. So some people say, you know, it's just as effective to just have them take more water. Drinking more water dilutes the mucus, making it thinner, making it easier to cough up. In addition to those things, we have what we call mucolytics, which can thin out mucus. The problem with them is that they can cause bronchospasm, so they're not really used. The only thing that is used is inhaled normal saline. And in the hospital, they have these little, they call them fish. It's a little vial of normal saline, and they put it into a nebulizer and have the patient breathe it in. Also used as an additive for nebulizer. In a cold, there's no histamine released. So why do antihistamines work for colds? It's the side effect. So what you want for a cold, don't take Claritin or Allegra for a cold. It doesn't work. You want to take Benadryl or chlorpheniramine because those have more of those drying side effects. It's those anticholinergic side effects that are what's helpful in a cold. So for allergies, yes, take Claritin. It's better. But for a cold, take Benadryl. You need to know that because you're going to have friends and family who are going to ask you these types of questions. And you might have a Dr. Heyman who asks you that question too. Good. Right. Yeah. Zopanex is levalbuterol. Probably. I don't know. I've never bought it in a can for kids, so. Right. All right. So tomorrow, no class. Monday, we will begin with anemias. There's also an anemia worksheet. I have to put it up. So. So you should at least start memorizing the normal values, which are on the lab sheet, because that'll make it easier for you when we start doing the anemias themselves.
The complete blood count?
Yes, the complete blood count.